Good morning. We have a special guest here today. Would you mind introducing yourself?
Sure. Hi, my name is Nike. I'm a singer, songwriter. I'm studying at Berkeley here in Boston. I'm originally from Czech Republic, so I'm a European, and I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. Very excited to have you. I was wondering if you could maybe start off talking a little bit about kind of how you got into songwriting, what made you decide to study it, also coming to Boston too, if there was any specific thing that drew you here.
Totally. I grew up around music my whole life. My whole family is musicians, but everyone's just an amateur musician. So it was just, music was around, but it was never considered as even a possibility that we could do it as a job. Mm-hmm. And I loved singing, I loved performing with a band when I was a kid. But then I kind of started dabbling in writing music. I was just kind of messing around on the piano. And then I had a really, really great teacher that pretty much taught me songwriting. And I think that was the first time that I was like, wait a second, music is so cool and I can do so much. And there's so much you can say and so many moods that you can kind of convey through music. So that really just seemed so much fun. So I kind of started doing it more and getting better at it. And then I started writing for some people back home in the Czech Republic. And then I was like, okay, well, if I want to actually do this, I need to learn more. And I knew about Berkeley because it's kind of a renowned school everywhere. It's like in the music world, it's just like, okay, like Berkeley, whoa. And so for me, it was like, there's no way, like too expensive, too far away. But then it was like miracle after miracle, and I ended up here. So that's what drew me to Boston mm-hmm. as well, was school.
Oh, that's amazing. Do you think you would ever want to go back to the Czech Republic? Like, to work on your songwriting career, or do you see more staying here?
I could see both, honestly. I'm now in my last year of study, so I'm kind of deciding what's going to happen, but I think I'm going to stay in the US for a few years and just mm-hmm. want to really experience the industry here, and the music here is super rich, so I want to gain as much as I can and then maybe go home and, mm-hmm. and gain from what's over there.
Nice. Yeah. Is there a difference? I'm curious in kind of the education you got regarding music in the Czech Republic in regards to here too?
For sure. I mean, there it's a lot more classically based. So if there is any music education, which there is, and it's really high quality, but most of it is classical. Mm. And I knew I wanted to do like modern contemporary music and pop and R&B, and there's not really like college education for that, for sure. So I think that's the main difference. And also just the scale, like obviously the US is so huge and the Czech Republic is so tiny. So mm-hmm. just the music industry is just so much smaller in every way.
Yeah, I guess the Czech Republic would have such a strong history too in classical music.
Definitely,
too.
Definitely. Yeah. It's really fun always being here and then different people talking about these big Czech classical artists like Dvořák, and they're like, oh my goodness, he's the best. I'm like, yeah, I know.
Yeah. Yep, I know, I've been there.
Yeah, I know where he lives.
So you mentioned that your style of music is kind of more of contemporary mm-hmm. R&B. Do you mind kind of just walking us through like maybe your process of kind of writing songs? I'm always so curious. I think it is such a like amazing skill and talent to have, and just kind of how you, maybe what inspires you, where you come up with the ideas, and just kind of like your process for that.
I usually start at the piano for me, because that was my first instrument growing up. So it usually, I'm just in a room with a piano and I just kind of start trying different chords and different things. And if there's something that resonates with me and that I feel like, ooh, this sounds really beautiful or really strange or something that I want to pursue, then I kind of try to build the harmony off of that. And then I just start singing over it. And usually it's just gibberish. And then sometimes there's a word that resonates again. So it really feels like kind of building a puzzle at first. You're just really putting these puzzle pieces together and just trying out ideas. And sometimes you chase an idea and then it totally doesn't work and it's boring or something, but so you kind of back up and you try it again. So that's kind of what it is, and which I think is the most fun part about it, is like learning these chords and learning these ideas and then just kind of playing around with it and putting a song together.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. Do you play other instruments as well, or is it mostly piano?
Mostly piano, and my like main instrument is voice, so I definitely sing the most out mm-hmm. of everything. I used to play violin for a second, but that's a long time ago.
Far in the past.
Yes.
And I know you recently had a performance at the Red Room at Berkeley last Wednesday.
Yes.
When did you start performing in your own music?
I would say maybe somewhere around when I was 15, 16 is when I kind of started. Mm-hmm. And I think my music evolved a lot throughout the years, just as I was kind of exploring new genres and finding new artists. And I think now it's really interesting to see even how my music and my writing has changed throughout my time in college. Mm-hmm. Also just through all the people that I meet, because Berkeley is such a hub of people from all around the world, which I'm sure here is as well. And it's just so fascinating in the music world to be able to meet people from so many different cultures that bring in their own influences and their own music. And then you have the mainstream as well, and you're kind of combining everything together. So I think it's really fun now at Berkeley to be performing more often. And I like to call my music existential soul pop, because it is very kind of free, and it has a lot of like jazz harmony, mm-hmm. but a lot of storytelling, more like a singer-songwriter folk vibe. So mm-hmm. it really combines all these different parts and is kind of this experience altogether. I did start performing a long time ago, but it definitely went in waves where I had to, I think, find my love for performing again and kind of not just see it as something that I do often and that's mm-hmm. just kind of a normal thing, but to realize how special it is to actually get to perform music and for to have people that want to see it and want to watch a performance is just so, so cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's incredible. Sorry, I've been monopolizing the questions, but if anyone else has one that you want to ask.
I had a question about, what you like learn as a student at Berkeley, because you know a lot of like songwriting and that comes from like you and yourself. So what like skills do your professors teach you, and like what do you take away most from like getting an education in music?
That's a great question. I think the main takeaway for me is really you're learning different tools and having them at my disposal. I think it's maybe similar to like learning how to cook. Like you can be a really great cook and have your own like signature tastes or combinations, but you need to learn the basics first to really be able to master it. So I think that's where I've seen school really come into play. And a lot of what we do at school is analyze what has been done before, and mm-hmm. whether that's like far in the past, like classical that we talked about, or just more recent stuff and just different genres. I'm taking a class on Stevie Wonder right now. So we're spending a full semester just analyzing and studying and listening to the music of Stevie Wonder and figuring out like, why does it work? Or how would we like replicate that? And our final project is literally writing a song using those tools and being like, okay, maybe he does this and the way he plays piano, maybe he does this and his melody. So I think that's where the real benefit is for me or for us to like have all these tools in our toolbox, and then when we have them we can choose not to use them and just do whatever we want in our writing, or we can choose to use them because they work mm-hmm. and they resonate.
Yeah. And then you were talking about a senior portfolio before we went on air and how that's like kind of your big graduation wrap up. Can you speak a little bit more towards that and like mm-hmm. what's included in that?
So my senior portfolio is essentially it's for my required for my major, which is contemporary writing and production, which is very much just the creative side of music. And my portfolio basically is showcasing a few of my pieces and a few of just different kinds of music that I've written over my time at Berkeley. And because the major is very diverse, it has to be diverse as well. So mm-hmm. There's going to be like an orchestra piece, and then there's going to be more of an electronic piece, and then I have to submit like I took a class on writing for advertising, so I'm going to have like a commercial which I scored music for, and then just some of my like personal project, which is completely different as well. So the senior portfolio is essentially like walking through some of these categories and just putting them all together and submitting that, which is really fun.
That's
actually
so cool.
Oh, that's so exciting. And so it's coming as, like, because I know you're graduating this semester.
It's wild.
Which actually, oh my gosh, it's already late November.
I know.
How are you feeling about graduating?
I actually feel good. I'm excited. I had a little crisis in spring and over the summer, just kind of not sure, not figuring out what's going to happen and that life doesn't end after graduation. And now I really feel more excited to just kind of start something new and, you know, finish this journey. I think it's just so powerful that life works in seasons and that they end and they start. And so we really get to see that. So I think for me, it makes me enjoy my time at Berkeley and in Boston more now because I know that it's coming to an end, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's been a really fun part of it, even though it is definitely disorienting and challenging. But I'm excited.
And I was wondering if you could maybe speak a little bit more about your personal projects and kind of what you've been working on right now and what you were performing last week.
Absolutely. I released my first song, my first single in June of this year. Yay. It's called Don't Need Her. So that was like a big thing for me to finally have something put out under my own name because I've written songs for other people, other artists back home and here. But that was the first time that I was like, okay, I think it's time. And then over the summer, I actually recorded a full project that I think is going to end up being like an EP or an album that's going to come out next year. Mm-hmm. So look out for that. It's going to be really fun. And it's just so exciting to be able to do this because I feel like the bulk of what I do and what eventually will make the most money for me is working for other people, which I really, really enjoy. And I love performing in other bands and I love writing music and producing music for other artists. But then whenever I get to actually perform, like I did last week with just a band who, you know, it's just my friends pretty much that we just get to come together and play some of this music that I've written. Is just so, so special. So I'm excited to be able to work on this music. I just had a meeting yesterday with one girl who's kind of helping me put the album together. And yeah, so I'm excited for this project to come out. I'm not sure exactly when that'll happen, but it'll happen.
We'll stay tuned.
Yay!
And, oh my gosh, I just lost my train of thought. I had a question. So you released your first single in June. Is it on Spotify?
It is. Okay. It's everywhere.
Wait, we should queue it up.
Oh, yeah. Let's put it first in the queue. It's called Don't Need Her.
Okay.
She's already ready on our Spotify playlist.
Oh, yay. Perfect.
Yay.
Will this song be on the new EP / album?
I think this one will just stay as a standalone single, and then there will be new music on the album.
How does that kind of work with you writing for other people? Is it kind of they kind of tell you what they're looking for and you're kind of working with them, or you have certain ideas that you just kind of put out there and then like other people are kind of taking them as well?
It really depends on the artist. Sometimes an artist comes in and they know exactly what they're kind of looking for. Like I worked with an artist back home that she's more of an established artist and she's a little bit older and she came and she was like, hey, I'm about to have a baby and I want to write a song that will come out when my baby is born. So that was a very specific, that was a big challenge for me because I was like, whoa, okay, now I have to write a song from a perspective of a mother of a child. Like, okay, wow. Which was really cool and really, really special to be a part of that. But then sometimes, like at Berkeley, I've had so many different writing sessions when you just come into a room with the artist or with a few songwriters and someone just brings in like a little idea. Sometimes that's just a melody or a lyric or something, and then you kind of just run with it. And a lot of it is just playing around. A lot of it is kind of creating a vibe and doing that. So I do feel that as a songwriter and producer, a lot of the time my role is to kind of just support where the artist is headed. And if they have a specific vision, that's awesome, and I can help them figure out how to go for that vision of that song. And sometimes if they don't, I can kind of be that supporter of who they are and if they're confident and kind of try to maybe pitch a few ideas and be like, okay, what if we try this? No, okay, let's try something else and then see what resonates with them and kind of work on it together. It's really fun too.
That sounds like such a special role to kind of be a part of in someone's life.
Yeah.
And kind of like an addition to their voice too and help them be heard.
It really is. It really is. And I feel so honored to be able to study this. And like, obviously I'm hoping that it's going to work out in the future and I'll be able to do this fully professionally. Mm-hmm. Because it really is so special. Like this past year, I worked with this Berkeley artist who's from Norway originally. Her name is Maggie. And she kind of came in and she was like, hey, like I want to try to write a song with you, let's see where it takes us. And a lot of her previous songs were more on like a slower tempo, kind of more pensive, and so we were like, okay, let's try something else. And we wrote like this pop fast track that actually came out this summer as well. I should add that to the playlist as well. And it was called Hold On, and it was just like a completely different vibe. It was very like fresh and summer. Mm-hmm. And it was so cool to be able to be there for her when, you know, like we were writing the chords together, writing the words together, and she got so excited because she was like, wow, this is something different, but it's still me, but it's a different version of me that maybe I wouldn't write on my own. But here we are putting this together, and then we got to release the song. So like moments like that are mm-hmm. really the moments where I'm like, whoa, this is so special and mm-hmm. so awesome.
Yeah. Oh, that's incredible to hear. I was kind of curious, do you have certain artists that you draw a lot of inspiration from when you are writing songs, or other composers or people that you've kind of aspire to? Mm.
I feel like I have so many of them that it's always hard for me to pinpoint.
I know,
some.
I'm sure there's tons.
Totally. But I mean, you know, when I was growing up when I started writing, I think a lot of like old R&B soul was kind of where I drew the most inspiration from, or where I listened to the most, like Stevie Wonder and Roberta Flack and Donny Hathaway. That was kind of the zone where I started, and then eventually listened to a lot of new music as well, a lot of neo soul and pop. Like I love Daniel Caesar and I love just so many different artists of today and what they do. So that's what I think is interesting, and I wonder how this is in like different majors and different fields when you're like even like writing or creating or whatever it is. Like I feel like whatever music I'm exposed to, that's the music then I write the next week. Mm-hmm. So like when I listen to a lot of jazz one week, then the next week without even thinking about it, I tend to go more jazzy, for example. So I think it's so cool to just expose myself to a lot of music. Recently I've been obsessed with this artist. He's like a newer artist called Samora Pinderhughes, and he just released a new album. Mm-hmm. And it's just such beautiful, deep music. It's kind of heavy to listen to because it's a lot of heavy topics and talking about grief and talking about masculinity and talking about just different topics. But he has just this beautiful, raspy voice that mm-hmm. comes through. So that's been like a more recent inspiration, but I love to listen to so much music.
Yeah, I'm sure you've like been exposed to just such a variety since mm-hmm. coming to Berkeley as well, and through other students too.
Yeah, totally. But you know what's funny? Mm-hmm. Sometimes I feel like the longer I'm at Berkeley, the less I listen to music.
Oh,
and
really?
I was just thinking last week, I was like, oh my goodness, I can't wait for Christmas because I'll finally have time to like listen to music. Like this is what I do every single day, all the time. Mm-hmm. But because of homework and because of like I need to write music, I need to go to class and blah, 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 then it's kind of like I don't want to like rest by just listening to music, or mm-hmm. you know, sit on the tee and listen to music because it's just too much. So
yeah, yeah.
I can't wait to like be able to just like go home, be in a car and listen to music.
Just have control over exactly. the music you're listening to.
Is that like a hard balance sometimes, like separating what you need to listen to in order to like do school versus what you want to like enjoy?
Sometimes it is, but I actually I'm surprised that it's almost easier sometimes than mm-hmm. I think, because I feel like we all have music that is comfort music for mm-hmm. us, and we always go back to that, and then like it's still easy to go back to that music, even if I've been listening to other music for school or for work the whole day, then that comfort music will still evoke that emotion, that or that just chill vibes, or you know. So sometimes it's definitely, especially when I'm in the bulk of a semester, I feel like I just need silence. But sometimes it's just nice to like put on my favorite playlist of music that I have not been studying for school in the past week, and just listen to something that I know I enjoy.
Mm-hmm. What could we find on that playlist? What's some of your comfort?
That's a good question. I think Samora, that I mentioned earlier, is one of those artists recently for me. And then also, I think in general, folk and singer-songwriter music is like my comfort music, like a lot of acoustic guitar and kind of just folky vibes.
From the Czech Republic?
Mostly from here. Like, I love Adrienne Lenker. Do you guys know Adrienne Lenker?
I love her.
I
so
missed
much.
Her show last week, and I'm so sad. Did any of you go?
I heard the tickets were very, very expensive.
Really? Okay.
They were like $200-$300 tickets.
Oh my gosh. I know. I really wanted to go, but I couldn't pay that much.
Same. So I love her, though. She's so amazing.
And I saw her in, when she was with Big Thief like a couple years ago, which was also really cool. That's she played amazing. Like one of her own songs, but yeah.
She's so good. So I love her. I had a Noah Kahan season as well. I love Paper Kites. Yeah, so a lot of folk music, I feel like, which is interesting.
Yeah. Do you think, so when exactly did you kind of start writing or songwriting?
I think when I was about maybe 15 or 16-ish. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
And do you think, like, how has your style kind of changed for songwriting since you've been here in Boston? And did you kind of start out still with kind of R&B and contemporary when you started writing? Or has that kind of been more of a recent journey?
I think the influence was somewhat always there, but I feel like at the beginning I didn't know how to put it into my own music, even though I loved listening to that, and I kind of tried to put those influences in. And I think it always somehow showed in the harmony of the music or just kind of the sound choices that I made. But at the beginning, it was definitely a lot more pop than I think it is now. Mm-hmm. And I have a feeling that maybe I will return to that one day, that I kind of feel like I'm on this like experimental zone right now in my own project. But maybe one day I'll return to more like groovy pop stuff. Not that my songs now aren't groovy, but sometimes they're a lot more reflective and contemplative. So I think kind of the core of the music has remained the same, but I just think it's a lot more refined now, and hopefully will be in the future as well as I'm growing as a writer. Just kind of learning, maybe what we like mentioned before, just kind of learning to use those tools from other writers and other songs that I love and that we all love, that we can take those tools from that and be like, okay, how can I not copy that, but use those tools and those patterns, those principles in my music. So I think that is the biggest difference, is because of all the studying that I've done and all the listening and all the learning, I get to use those things in my music now a lot more.
Mm-hmm. What can we expect from your EP album?
You can expect a lot of storytelling through kind of rich music. A lot of it was recorded with a live band at Berklee this summer, so it's a lot of that, and you can kind of hear that band interaction through the playing, which I think is amazing. And I feel like each song is kind of its own world, that it starts really small and then grows into something big and then comes back to something small. So I think what you can expect is to be taken on this journey of these stories, and of hopefully something that will make you feel like home and make you feel like there's so much more. So that's kind of what I'm hoping for.
Very exciting. We're kind of coming to the end of our time, but I was wondering if you had any either upcoming performances or anything that you wanted to mention about your own work or anything.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. It's what a pleasure to be able to be here. I don't have any upcoming performances right now. I will say, though, I am singing vocals with an amazing artist and a close friend of mine tomorrow at the Sinclair. Her name is Thyriel Jackson, and she is so amazing, and she's opening for Busty and the Bass at the Sinclair, which is just huge. So I'll be singing there if anyone's free tomorrow on Wednesday at, I think it's at 8 p.m. I'm not sure, but it's a Wednesday night. So that's definitely an upcoming performance. But if you want to hear about upcoming performances of my own music, you can just follow me on Instagram. It's Nike Vopalecka, N-I-K-E-V-O-P-A-L-E-C-K-A. And I always post little music videos and little info about shows. So yeah, I'd love to see you there.
Gosh, I'd love to come. Yeah. Thank you so, so much.
Oh my gosh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Congratulations on all your success.
Oh, I know, you guys.
That's awesome.
We'll definitely be on the lookout for your EP when it comes out.
Yay! Thank you.
And good luck with the rest of your senior year.
I know, woo! Yes. So close.
Thank you. So close.
Almost there.
Almost there. Yeah. All right. And we'll get back into some music. And we'll start off with Hear Me Cry by Botero Music.